You might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John and chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word. Spirit of God, for you to make the word work, to make all of the wonderment that you have made, that Christ has made possible, that you are able to make happen in our life, God. So here we are. Your time, your day. Help us in Christ's name. Amen. And we share together in the light of the Apostle John, the last living apostle. We share together that they, after Christ died on the cross, he was risen. And on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, Acts 1:8, God made possible the wonderful life of our Lord to be found in the heart of the believing believer. And the disciples, the apostles, were now able to understand, were now able to experience, were now able to enjoy all that they would see in Christ for 3 1/3 years. Now they were able to possess it and have it. And 1 John, written near the end of the century, the last living apostle, is writing in the light of the Gospel of John, is writing so that the believing heart can enjoy, John 10, the abundant life that God has meant to have, to be the possession of the believing heart, that abundant life, a wonderful life. It involves fellowship. Now, as we shared in 1 John, as we looked at it, we shared together that God, that fellowship, sliding down to verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So it's an awesome oneness, unity, and fellowship is the experience of the relationship with God, based on unity, based on oneness, a unique, wonderful relationship that God makes possible in and because of Christ, making our fellowship not only with God the Father and God the Son, but making our unity, our fellowship with the body, all those believers in the body, to be able to enjoy the reality at once, at the same time, with the head, and the head with the body, and the body with the head. All of it in wonderful unity, same as with your physical body, easy to remember, easy to see. Your head and your body and all the parts of the body are now functioning. And they, apart from being sick or have problem, it's harmonious. Every single second, all of it is working. Your sensitivity, your spinal column, the whole system is wonderfully working. That's fellowship. Fellowship that God gives with himself. Christ is the head and the believers are the body. And that's what fellowship is. Now, having said that, Then we shared together in verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full, that you may have, writing, that your joy, our joy, the joy that God made possible, God, all that God made possible on Calvary's cross, his rising again, his being seated at the right hand of God in his perfect humanity. There he is, all that God made possible, all that God is doing, all that God is going to do, all that God is being and doing for us, all that God is doing and that we cannot do. We cannot do it. God's doing. God's doing something that we don't even come to grips with until God saves us and we allow him to save us. And God makes possible a wonderful everything. God, the word joy, to be delighted, to prosper, to rejoice. God's delight in being God. God's delight in going to the cross and dying for your sin and mine. God's delight in bringing to us his wonderful person that we can enjoy all of his wonderful, wonderful working. That's what he said. He brings us that joy, that our joy might be full. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind if you can, that our joy is to be experienced. That joy. Now, here we are in our normal life on planet Earth, and we go from hour to hour, from day to day, we live, eating, drinking, coming and going, breathing. And we do that. Now, there's not out here around us, we're living up the conditions, the circumstances, they're all around us, and we're facing them. And they aren't particularly always joyous. They aren't exciting. So here we are. Now God, where's the joy? Count it all joy. But God, what's the problem? We aren't, all we're doing is seeing it from an earthly level. We look out the window and around us. We aren't seeing it from God's perspective. God has done a wonderful thing. What? You received, if you're saved, you received him as your Savior. God has brought into your heart his awesome presence and person. For what? To enjoy God's wonderful saving grace in the midst of earthly conditions. So what's our problem? We need to see the moment, every day, every hour. We need to see it from your window, God, so that we are able to tolerate, live successfully in the moments on our moments on planet Earth. So God, what do we need? We need to see it from your window. How do you see now? Right now, here we are sitting here. How does God see us? What's God thinking? What's God doing? How is God doing it? We need to see it from God's perspective. So how am I going to do that? And because I'm caught, I need to have fellowship. That's what you tell me, God. I'm supposed to have this oneness, this enjoyment. And it's your delight to be God, our Father, and a Savior. It's your delight to do so. So God, that's missing. That's missing. God, we need to have it in our head and heart that you're an ever-present Savior, an ever-present God. That's what I need to have in my head and heart. Now, God, I need to have that. What's my problem? Ah, you know my problem. God said, yes, I do. And the Apostle John and the God and writing, the Spirit of God is going to help us. In the light of verse 4, God is going to go, and you'll notice verse 5. Why did you put verse 5 in? Because this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, God, what are you saying? And you'll notice the verbs in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare. Now go back up to verse 1. That which we have heard from the beginning, which we have heard to announce. We're announcing it, we're proclaiming it. Sliding down to verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare. The verbs are repeated. We're telling you, we're making known to you what you need to hear, what you need to understand. So verse 5. This then is the message that we have heard of him, that declare we unto you. What is that? That God is light, and in him is no darkness. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in verse 5, go to the end, and God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, God is light, and no darkness at all, present tense. There is no darkness. Darkness is missing. Darkness is the absence of light. So there's sin, dark, evil, and double. So what in verse 5, you have no darkness at all. That actually is a double negative in the Greek. Darkness in him exists not, and then no. Not no. Double negative. To strengthen it. What are you saying then? No darkness whatsoever. Absolutely no darkness. God is pure light. There's no darkness at all in God. God's wonderful, wonderful person. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in the light of that, now, and if you can, over to 1 John. 1 John. Over to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 1. And you will notice, picking up, if I may, in verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was light, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to go and save us in a most wonderful way. And God is light. In him is no darkness. Now God is give us, now you can't. As long as you're dead, physically dead, you have no problem because there's no life. And since there's no life, your systems don't work. Your hearing doesn't work. Your eyes don't work. You're dead. So when you're dead physically, nothing's working. What do you need? Life. And as long as you're alive, physically alive, your systems are working. Your systems, including your eyes, etc. They're all working. Why? Because you have life. You can't have light without life. Life. You need life in order to see. You can't do it without life. Jesus Christ is our life. He is eternal life. John 17:3, he is eternal life, is to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. We're to know God, fellowship. We're to know God in a very wonderful, wonderful way. And in knowing God and in honoring God, we're going to go. And God is going to go, and we're going to go when we get saved. God does something wonderful. He gives us eternal life. When he gives us eternal life, at the same moment, He brings light into this darkness. Life, light, he brings into the heart to see. Hang on. Now, and in him is no darkness at all. And therefore, when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, we have life, and God does a wonderful thing in giving us light. And the light that God gives us is a wonderful light to be able to see. Now, keep in mind, light, and you know light, the electrical magnetic wavelengths in between infrared, and ultraviolet, and his light in the middle, and all the different rays. Light. What is light? Light. So, and light, wonderful thing, light. Now, if I take away light, I have darkness. And if I have darkness, I have no light. No light. If there's no light, I don't see. Because the only reason you can see physically is because of light. You can't possibly see without light. You can't do it. You can have eyes, the best little eyes you can have. But if I put you in pitch blackness where there is no light, you can't see. You can't see. You've got to have light. Light is what gives you vision. Eyes need light. Life and light. That's what they got to have so that we can see. And that's what we can see. What are we actually looking at out right now? We're looking at light. And in light, we're able to distinguish the pulpit. We're able to distinguish the flowers. We're able to distinguish them because we're in light. We're living in light. And that's why we see the colors. Here's the seven colors in the light. And here they are. Here's red up here. And here's red. And there's red. Why do we see red? Why do we see red? Because of the light. The colors are all there. And the light makes it. Here's the light spectrum, seven colors. And light of it, light makes all the colors, makes everything. Without light, you can't see anything. You can feel it, but you can't see it. It's dark. Dark. Darkness. Now, hang on to that, if you would. Because what are you saying, God? How can I enjoy, hang on, 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, and the joy, we're able to have God's fullness of joy, the full, wonderful delight, the pleasure of joy, God being God, from God's window. Right now, here we are sitting here with all our ins and ups and downs and whatever we're having to think about. Have, and there's God. And God's thinking, God's doing, and God's saving us. God's helping us. God's outworking his will for his will for your life if you're saved. That's what he's doing right now. He's delighted to do so. He's delighted to be patient with us. He's delighted to be long before being angry with us. He's delighted. It's his delight. I need to see that. How do I see it? I need light. I can't see it in the dark. And if I don't have light, I'm walking in darkness. And I can't enjoy the wonderful truths because I can't see them. I need to see them. Do you understand? Why are you saying, God? Why are you saying? The joy you can't have, you need to understand God is light, and you better be in the light, or you can't see anything. You couldn't see the wonderful truth. I can read them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, but it won't go anywhere. Where's it going to go? In the dark. No more than here on planet Earth. I can write it out on the blackboard 25 times. I can't do any more than that. The reality of the light, of that being my shepherd, requires light. So I can see the shepherd, as it were. I can understand the shepherd and the sheep and my own heart. I need to see. I've got to have light. That's why 1 John 1:5, you need to understand God is light and in him is no darkness. Because if you don't walk in the light, all that I'm telling you, you can't ever understand it. Not on earth. You can't understand it. You can preach it. You can teach it. But you don't know it. You don't know it. Now, therefore, an exercise. And by the way, in case I lose it, you know, if you take a prism, we take light and put prism, it divides up light. Light goes through the prism, and you have the seven colors. You have a rainbow in the sky. And the rainbow in the sky, the light is there. And the light hits the drops of rain, etc. And you begin to see colors, like a prism. You shoot light through the prism, and you see the colors. That's what you do. Without the prism, you don't see it. Everything is marked wonderfully distinct in the light. All the different colors, all the different everything shows up. And I can see in the light. I see it all in the light. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, I need to see it. Now, a little exercise. Over to Genesis. You can't enjoy God in the dark. You can't do it. You just can't. You've got to have light. You've got to have light. God is light. You can't do it without God. Over to, what did I just say, Genesis? Genesis chapter 1, and you will note, I'm going to start directly in verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And then God added, verse 14, and God said on the fourth day, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let there be for signs, for seasons, for days, for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also, etc. And God set them in the firmament up on the heavens, in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. Now God, what did you do? You did a wonderful, wonderful thing. You made it so that we could understand darkness. Now what are you doing, God? Well, you gave the angels, you can't, God. Why are you helping darkness? Why didn't you show, in the new heavens and the new earth, there's no darkness. There's no night. You'll never have night again. It's all light. Christ is the light and life of everything. No darkness. But here we are. Why are you saying this, God? I want you to understand. I gave the angels choice. I created them. They had the right to honor me and enjoy me or not. Lucifer came along and loused up the problem. Satan did. When I made humans, I gave them the same privilege. I gave them choice to believe or not believe. They have to take a choice. Now God, what do you mean a choice? Light and darkness, life and death. They must choose because of sin. God went to the cross to die, to save us, to bring us from death to life, from darkness to light. That's what he did. I have the choice to believe or not to believe. Now, having said that, over to Isaiah and 45. Isaiah chapter 45. What else do we know? Isaiah chapter 45, picking up, if I may, if I can, in verse 5. 45, Isaiah 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now God said, I'm the only one. Now, verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. I gave them choice. The angels had choice. They choose. Humans are to have choice. They're born in sin. They need to be saved. They have the right to choose to be saved in a most wonderful way. I allow that. I allow Genesis 6. I allow darkness. There in me, said God, is no darkness at all. Absolutely. But apart from me, apart from light, is darkness. If you leave me out of the picture, light, you're left in darkness. If you leave me out of the picture, you're left in death, and you don't have life. You must include me. You must understand I am the only God, and you have to understand you need to involve me. I'm the Creator, God. I am the Savior in a most wonderful way. Verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things, if I can. Verse 8, drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation. Let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto them that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Thy work, he hath no hands. Are you saying there is no creator? Are you taking away God from the picture? That's what they were doing. They love darkness. That's what they were doing. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, there's choice. As you know, you need to understand that. Every moment you have it right now. You can either choose to be believing or not. You can either be chosen. Whatever you want to think, you choose to think it. Whatever you want to do with your mind, you're choosing to do it. Now, over if I can, Deuteronomy and chapter 30. And in chapter 30, that, just reminding you, chapter 30 to Israel, before they crossed the Jordan. Chapter 30 and verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. You must make a choice. Sliding down in the light of the context, sliding down to verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, I'm telling you, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I'm telling you the choice to make. And verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days forever, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them. What are we going to do? There's a choice. Everyone has a choice. God, that's why there's darkness. That's why there's evil. Why did you do it, God? Because I had to give them a choice. If all they have is good, like Adam and Eve had, they had choice. But if all they have is light, that's all there is. And I don't want robots. I'm looking for people, angels and humans, to have fellowship, to be able to convert, to be able to enjoy what? The extraordinary gloriousness of God. To be able to enjoy it. Now, in the light of that, in the a silly illustration. Here's a plate of your favorite food. Here's the plate of your favorite food. Now, and in looking at the plate, here's your favorite food out there. And if you can't see it, that's not very good. But if you could see it, you begin to sense what could possibly be good. So you're going to go and see that. But the food in itself doesn't appreciate anything. The piece of whatever it is that you probably don't like, broccoli, whatever it is. And here it is. The broccoli doesn't have any feeling, doesn't have any sense, doesn't have any. The world, everything, it's how you see it, how you respond to it. And God, you got to have fellowship, you got to have life, you got to have light to enjoy the things of life. The food's nothing if you don't have something to be able to respond. The taste buds on your tongue, your eyes to see, etc. You wouldn't have it. You have to have the sensing. You have to have light in order to enjoy life. Life requires light. Now, having said that, keeping in mind, over if I can, over to the book of Romans and chapter 1. And remember, we're looking to understand why God said you can't enjoy anything that I'm trying to tell you that you have if you don't have light. You've got to have light. You've got to see it in the light. In the light. What's light going to do? It's going to help you see what? Sin. Otherwise, you don't see sin. You need to see sin in the light. That's what's going to help us with. That's why I said, walk in the light. Otherwise, you won't see. You aren't real. You've got to be real. Everything's real, wonderful, and God is. I need to see it. I need to see God's wonderful saving grace in the midst of a world system and my own heart that wouldn't deny God. Now, having said that, go if I can to Romans, as we started to say, and in Romans chapter 1, you would know you're ahead of me. Romans chapter 1, picking up please directly in verse 21. I'll have to read verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, deity, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse. Because, why not? Verse 21, that when they knew God, and they did, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened. I gave them my wonderful presence to know me as a little baby, little kid, little girl. I gave him my wonderful presence in their heart, and they choose not to partake it, but follow the parents, to follow the system, to follow the world, to follow the flesh. That's what they did. And they went from the possibility of light to darkness and death they chose. So they need to do what? They need to get saved. They need to get saved. Now, so God, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, and like we read, back over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John in chapter 1. And of our Lord and Savior, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The darkness does not comprehend. It's intensive to take, to lay hold of, to overtake, to overcome, to seize, to overpower. I'll read it then. Verse 5. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness wants to overpower it. Darkness hates light. And anything and everything possible to get rid of light. Philosophy, opinions, religions, no problem. It's light that makes us see that Buddha is no God. Pantheism is stupid. And anyway, I don't mean to, whatever. You got it? To see it, I need light, light, light. God, the darkness hates the light. And you know that. Over to chapter 3. Chapter 3, picking up if I can. Now verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Why is he already condemned? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And hold your finger there. Go over to chapter 8. Hold your finger right here. And go over to chapter 8. And in chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Back over now, he's the light of the world. Back over to chapter 3. And the end of verse 18, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, who is the light of the world. They don't want him. They don't want light. How so? Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. God was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why not? Lest his deeds should be reproved. In other words, I'll have to see the real thing. I'm really a sinner. I'm really lost. I'm rebellion. I have no life. I'm everything God said and that I knew is true. I denied it. I denied it. Ah, Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, our standard excuse to get out of responsibility. Verse 20, 5:20 Isaiah. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, to turn it all upside down. How do we handle evil? We call it good. How do we handle darkness? We call it light. We live in the darkness. The prince of this world, the darkness, the world of darkness, we live in it. Men love darkness rather than light. Why don't you want to see? Because I don't want to have to answer to anything of reality. That I'm really created by God, and Christ really died on the cross for me, and I have rejected it. I have rejected God's saving grace, and that's why I'm lost. I don't want to have to see that. I don't want to have to think about that. Now, having said that a little bit, Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. What about darkness? Men love darkness rather than light. Chapter 5, Amos, picking up verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? In other words, let the day of the Lord come, so what? So what's God going to do? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. I call darkness light and light darkness. So I don't see the day of the Lord as a problem. No. Verse 19. If a man flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into a house and leaned upon his hand upon the wall and a serpent bit him. Well, you say, well, I'm going to not face it. What are you going to do? If you don't, you say, well, I'm going to run for the lion can't get me. Well, how about the bear? And I'll just trust my own self. And lo and behold, the serpent bit me. God said, let me see you get out of this one. You're going to face darkness and the penalty. You're going to face me. You love darkness rather than light. Sliding down, if I can, verse 20. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? No brightness at all. Wow. God. Wow. Now, God, what are you saying? You can't enjoy. I want your joy to be full. 1 John 1:5, 4. I want your joy to be full. But if you're walking in the darkness, you'll never know it. You can read God's word up to here. You'll never know it. You can preach it and never know it. That's true. And never know it. You've got to have light to see it. You can exegete a verse. You can go and take it. I can, if you could, take it apart. Do it. Do it. But you can't make that shine. You can't make that light. It's full of light. My words, John 6:63, are full of life, full of light. My words will lighten your darkness. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in Amos, 2 Corinthians, or if I can, 2 Corinthians, I hope you got a little bit. You need to understand, without light, you're in the dark. That's true for believers. That's true. You're going to read it. If a man say he hates his brother, he's in the dark. You can't say that. You can't say that. But I do. You're in the dark. And what do? I choose to walk in the flesh. And therefore, I'm saved. But I'm not having any light. And I could even be a minister, a bishop, a pope. I could be all of that. But I don't have any light. I need light. Now, so therefore in the light, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, as you know, watch it. Watch how it comes together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What are we going to do? We reject Christ. We love darkness rather than light. That's why they're condemned already. That's right. The devil said, I don't believe. What am I supposed to, but whoever told me? God in the initial, when you were little, growing up, you knew, but you chose not to follow it. And now your heart is all over the place, except where it should be. You knew it. And the devil knows when you could have believed and you don't, he implants the wonderful thought, you need to love darkness like the rest of us, so you can live with us comfortably. We can't live with people that live in the light. They kept telling us, I keep telling you, the watch says midnight, and that isn't true. It isn't true. I keep telling you something, and we all need to be in the dark to believe it. If you're going to be in the light, then you have to say, well, that isn't true. That is not true. That's not true. Therefore, we preach, verse 5, not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light, sent his Son, commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, God, he's the light of the world, and God, I receive his life, and I have life, and God brings the light, his wonderful presence into my heart, and I'm able to enjoy life. Now keep in mind, we can't get into all these different things. Remember now, here's light. Light coming through the windows. If the window was real dirty window. The light hits the dirty window and stops some of the dirt, stops some of the light. But the light that can sneak through the dirt is just as clean as it is outside. You can't dirty light. Light is clean, pure. You can't dirty it. You can't dirty it. Wonderful. God is perfect light, clean, pure, holy. And no matter how bad, he saves us sinners. And no matter how lousy we could be, we never make him dirty. We never make him dirty. He's always clean, clean light. Therefore, God, here we are, God shines in our hearts to show the wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, in a little thing to say to help you, I hope we got a little way. You need to see light. It's so important. Because most of us believers, not you guys, of course, are out there doing what we do, and we walk in the dark and we call it light. And we preach and call it light. And we teach and call it light. And we read the Bible and call it light. And we do all of those things. And we do it. And then we wonder why nothing ever clicks for us. This joy that is unspeakable. We never get it. What's he talking about? Well, because you're in the dark. Therefore, you'll remember the little story. Sunlight was there, sunlight every day, and sunlight was looking down at the cave. and trying to encourage the cave to come up and see the light. And so the cave would hear the encouragement down below in the dark, and the cave would hear it, and the sunlight every day would say, "Why don't you come up and see the light?" And so one day the cave came up to see the light. And the cave came up to see the light, and he said, "Wow, but you know what? He couldn't see the darkness anymore." Why couldn't he see the darkness? He's in the light. Light dispels darkness, isn't it? If you turn the light on, isn't it to turn the light to what? Get rid of darkness. God. So the cave said, "What happened to my darkness?" So the cave said, "Well, listen, Mr. Sunlight, why don't you come down and see my darkness?" So the sunlight said, "All righty, since you came up to see my sunlight, I'm going to come down to see your darkness." And so the sunlight goes down, the cave introduces him into the pitch blackness of the cave, and the light comes in, sunlight comes in. And you know what? There was no more darkness in the cave. There was no more darkness. What happened to the darkness? Light came in. What happens to your life when you receive Christ and you start to fellowship? You receive light and you don't walk in the darkness. You walk in the light. Are you getting it? So our fellowship. Wow. Our Father and God, deal with our heads and hearts and help us. Thank you very, very much as we stumble along. And our God, we're going to thank you and thank you and thank you. God, Spirit of God, thank you for your word. Yeah. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.